This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
As the cabinet secretaries will tell you, from the very beginning, I've given them clear direction to focus on addressing environmental challenges so we can provide the highest quality of life to all Americans. In addition to clean air and clean water, that means being good stewards of our public lands, prioritizing cleanup of polluted lands that threaten our most vulnerable citizens and threaten them very dearly, and implementing pro-growth policies to unlock innovation and new technologies which improve American life and America's environment. So important.
And we will talk to the EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler about that at 7:45. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. Every day, of course, 855-839-1210. And that'll be an important conversation that you'll want to hear without question. So you know what's fascinating about all this is that I'm looking around at the Democrats who are running for president. And finding out now, as this goes on, you know, Eric Swalwell dropped out of the race. No shock. I opened the show with that today, mocking this idiot. But there's going to be others that drop out soon. And then the question becomes, because soon this herd is going to thin. I mean, it's only a matter of time until this crazy clown show car ends. And they can only fit so many people in the car. And you need gas money. And after a while, you can't make it. But as this happens, where are people going to go? Where are they going to go? I mean, other Democrats, I mean, where are they going to go? Will they wind up backing Biden, or are they going to wind up going far left? And that is the question right now. Somebody made the point of suggesting, I think it was on CNN, that Nancy Pelosi is just, she's out of touch. She's out of touch. The party's changed, no longer the same party that it used to be, and she's out of touch right now. Nancy Pelosi, who I refer to as the vampiric one because she's eternal and an earthwalker and a creature of the night, she's the Speaker of the House and deserves much reverence. So that's why I give her the respect she deserves by calling her the vampiric one. The vampiric one. Not just vampiric one. The. That is the respect she deserves. The vampiric one. Anyway, she's trying to fight here. She's trying to do her best to fight. It's not easy for her these days. But regarding the census question, cut six.
But this is about keeping, you know, make America, you know, this hat, make America white again. They want to make sure that people, certain people, are counted. It's really disgraceful. And it's not what our founders had in mind. And it's not how we can decide who we are as a people. Who are
now, let's
we?
Stop for a second. Now, granted, she was around when the founders were around, so she may know better than I do. Perhaps she spoke with them. I don't know. But what I do know is that counting people doesn't make America white again. How does that work exactly? How does counting people make America white? I'm trying to understand that concept. Counting citizens, many of citizens who are not white. We have a lot of citizens who are black and brown and purple, other colors. We count them too, so we count citizens who. So what she's suggesting here, actually, if you think about it, is the president's idea to count the census count to ask the question of, are you a citizen? What she's suggesting is that a lot of people who aren't citizens are minorities. That's what she's suggesting. Which, you know, if I were a minority, I'd be very offended by that. If I were black, or if I were brown, or if I were, because they're always, that's how they, everybody's a color. You know, they label you like you're in a pack of crayons. I'd be very offended by that, especially if I did it the right way and I came to this country legally and I'm a citizen and I just want to be represented and I want to have the correct number of seats in the House of Representatives to go with the population of my state, my fellow citizens. I'd be offended by that. Because what she's saying here is that if you're not white, you're an illegal immigrant. That's what she's saying. And I have no idea how this is that by counting people and asking the question of, are you a citizen, that makes America white again. The only way that happens is if they count how many white people they are and then deport everybody who isn't white, which they're not doing, by the way. They're just counting citizens. There are a lot of citizens who aren't white in this country. But this is what the game has to be. This, it has to be, let's go to the race card, let's make it about racism and everything like this, and then somebody hands her a card and says, go say this. This is a catchy little line. You know, the hats, yeah, the hat says that make America white again.
But this is about keeping, you know, make America, you know, this hat,
yeah,
make America white again. They want to make sure certain people are counted. It's really disgraceful. And it's not what our founders had in mind.
And I know.
And it's not
there.
How we can decide who we are as a people. Who are we? What is America? We celebrate America on the 4th of July. What is America? America is our Constitution, our separation of powers, a co-equal branches of government, the freedoms, including freedom of the press, the guardian of our democracy, in the Bill of Rights. Who is America? America is our Constitution. What is America? It is this beautiful land.
You know what she sounds right now? She sounds like a mix of a bad folk singer at an open mic night and the worst history teacher you've ever had. Like the two merged. In my mind, I'm thinking of, you go to those coffee shops back in the day and you'd have some guy up there improvising, a poet, and he's just terrible, yes, and you want him to stop. Who is America? America's me and you and all of us and flowers and the Bill of Rights. She's repeating herself.
To everything, turn.
To everything. There's a season. She says the Constitution like three times.
Yes, she does.
Or a teacher who's completely unprepared for the question of, she got there as a sub and she went, the lesson today is, who is America? America is the Constitution and buildings and...
Who are we? What is America? We celebrate America on the 4th of July. What is America? America is our Constitution, our separation of powers, our co-equal branches of government, the freedoms, including freedom of the press, the guardian of our democracy, in the Bill of Rights.
She's
who is America?
This.
America is our Constitution. What is America?
Senator.
It is this beautiful land that God gave us from sea to shining sea and beyond. That they are
degraded. And beyond.
I have to say, it's better than some of the fill-in hosts when Zioli's on vacation.
Oh, geez.
So there's that.
Oh, and beyond. That they are degraded.
So sea to shining sea. Oh, and also Hawaii and Alaska. And Puerto Rico.
She winged it.
And those other little states we own. What are the little places, the islands and whatnot. The Virgin Islands. I love those. Fresh virgin blood.
No,
I love those
not
islands.
The same thing.
Thank you, Dawn, for that line, by the way.
Maybe she could guest host one time.
She'd be better than Alec Baldwin. I mean, she's improvising here, but it's still better than Baldwin when he filled in. What is America? It's grass. She's just looking around. The walls, paint. This is the Speaker of the House of Representatives here. It's amazing to me. Is that done? Is she done?
I mean, yeah, I can let her go.
And beyond that they are degrading on every single day that they serve in office. What is America? America is our people. The beautiful diversity of America, and they denigrate.
Stop. You know what? This would be great. Remember the tapping of the cymbals like they used to do with the guy at the coffee shop? Or I think it was in So I Married an Axe Murderer, remember? and he would stand up there and they'd tap the cymbals, smoke a cigarette, and just kind of riff on a poem. That's what she reminds me of. What is America? And she's still going. She's still making stuff up.
But you know, if you had like this from the new Springsteen album, some little bit of like guitar music behind it, like a little instrumental.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It would still be better than Western Sky,
no,
his new album.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, it could work.
We could definitely try this. Greg can put something together.
Not
right. I know you can't do it right this second, but let her finish with what her America.
What is America? America is our people. The beautiful diversity of America, and they denigrate newcomers to our country. They dishonor the Constitution. They degrade the environment.
And that's it? Oh, man.
I realized we'd go on that long with that clip.
So I know. I could go another seven minutes on that clip. What we'll do is we'll play that with a little, like, a jazzy riff or the cymbal or something, kind of. Because she does. It's the combination of horrible open mic night poet and worst history teacher you've ever had merging together. Or you know what it is? It's a bad history teacher who does open mic night as a poet. My dream is really to be a poet. I just do this teaching job to pay the bills. So let me get up here and riff on who is America? Give me another latte and a blood transfusion.
I can try something right now if you want to.
Why not?
Okay. Oh my goodness.
It's really disgraceful. And it's not what our founders had in mind. And it's not what how we can decide who we are as a people. Who are we? What is America? We celebrate America on the 4th of July. What is America?
But I need some tapping. I need like a tempo, like a tapping, like a cymbals. It's like, you know, what is America?
This is America. Okay.
I know we got to get to the Environmental Protection Agency administrator, so we'll have to put this nonsense on hold for a moment. Excuse me. 855-839-1210 is our number here on the Scioli Show, because we are very lucky to have the Environmental Protection Agency administrator, Andrew Wheeler, on and to discuss.
He doesn't want to hear our nonsense.
He doesn't want to hear this nonsense. No. He's too busy running, being in the president's cabinet. Administrator Wheeler, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Big day yesterday. The president gave a speech in the White House East Room. You were there as well, of course, obviously. America's environmental progress. I want to say, first of all, I personally am very happy that you and the president have done so much to get rid of so many regulations that are holding businesses back. But give us a little insight, if you could, into some of the record and how it specifically affects Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, et cetera.
Sure. Well, first of all, as we announced yesterday, if you just look at the air, we have six criteria air pollutants. Those have been reduced 74% since 1970. And all six of the criteria air pollutants have dropped under President Trump's watch. On the water side, our water is cleaner than ever. We continue to make progress there. And we're moving forward to clean up some of the old industrial waste sites around the country under our Superfund program and our Brownfields program. In particular, on the Brownfields, we just announced new Brownfields grants last month, $65 million in Brownfields to 149 communities across the country.
And can you explain a brownfield, what that means?
A brownfield is a former industrial site, usually in the inner city, that has been either abandoned or closed down for a number of years, and there's typically pollution or toxic chemicals or waste located on the site, and nobody wants to go in and clean that up and redevelop it because of the fear of having the environmental responsibility of cleaning up the site. You know, a third party does not want to come in and take over somebody else's waste. So we put out Brownfields grants, which helps communities clean up those sites and get them ready for redevelopment for other third parties to come in. And we awarded Philadelphia $300,000 to the Philadelphia Redevelopment Authority to assess several different cleanup sites there in Philadelphia to get those cleaned up for redevelopment.
Excellent. Good. Because then, obviously, then those could be places that could be turned into a business that will pay taxes and hire people, theoretically.
Exactly. It takes these old sites, and particularly in inner cities, where we need to have economic development, where the environmental conditions have hampered any kind of progress, and it allows those sites to be redeveloped, put back into productive use, create jobs, create a tax base, improve the community, and improve the environment all at the same time.
Administrator Wheeler, I also understand you focused a lot on the United States, Mexico, Canada trade agreement, and I understand that has a lot of environmental aspects to it as well.
Yes, that's actually the first trade agreement that has ever had the environmental provisions included in the agreement itself, and it's also the first time we've ever had strong language on marine plastic debris, which is something that we share with both Canada and Mexico. All three of the countries want to get that cleaned up. 60% of the plastic waste comes to us from Asian countries, six Asian countries, and it impacts the coastline for all three of the countries. So we have included trade language in the trade agreement to help get the ocean plastic debris cleaned up. And again, it's the first time we've ever included environmental provisions in a trade agreement.
I'm glad you're mentioning the fact that it is other countries in the world that are the primary polluters and the primary offenders, and that this stuff flows over to us and then we got to deal with it. So that's good that you're mentioning that point.
Yes, as I said, six Asian countries contribute 60% of the world plastic ocean debris. On that scale, we rank number 20. So our contribution is relatively small, particularly considering the size of our country. But what we need to do is we need to address the problem at its source, those six countries, to really reduce and eliminate the plastic debris.
EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler's here. Yesterday, the president was discussing his environmental record. We're in Pennsylvania. I'm a big fan of the fact that the administration has reversed the Obama administration's war on coal. I think it's very important for Pennsylvania and, of course, a lot of other places around the country. It gets a bad rap. Environmentalists come out and scream and say that the air quality is terrible. What do you say about that?
You know, today's coal plant is not like the coal plant of the 1970s. Coal plants are 90 to 98% cleaner than they were in the 1970s. The important thing is that we allow the states and the utilities to decide what is the best fuel mix for the customers in their states. And another aspect that a lot of people forget is that if we don't develop the clean coal technologies here in the United States, they won't get developed anywhere else. China continues to build a new coal-fired power plant one per week, and they're using older technologies. What the Obama administration did in their 2015 proposal was basically freeze the development of any new clean coal technologies. What we need to do is we need to invest in cleaner technologies, and then we need to export not only our coal, good Pennsylvania coal, but we also need to export our cleaner coal technologies to developing countries such as China or India or Indonesia, so that they build coal-fired power plants that are state-of-the-art like we have here in the United States.
And if you allow the clean coal technology to be developed, it's only going to be developed if there's money behind it, i.e. people are making and selling coal. So that's a very important point.
Exactly. It is very important. But again, it's not the EPA's job to pick which type of fuel source we use. It's our job to have a level playing field where we have regulations that don't pick winners and losers. You know, the Obama administration really did declare war on coal. We have called a truce in that war, but we're wanting to make sure that, you know, the coal-powered plants of the future are cleaner and more energy efficient.
Natural gas, can you talk about that too, Administrator Wheeler, because that's also very important to Pennsylvania as well?
Absolutely. And on the natural gas side, since 2000, we have doubled our natural gas production in the United States. At the same time, the industry has reduced methane emissions 15%. So that's just incredible. If you just stop and think about it, a doubling of the source and a 15% reduction in the pollution at the same time. We're going to be coming out with new regulations later this summer where we're working with the industry to make sure that they continue to reduce methane. But we don't want to be prescriptive and tell industry, you have to do X, Y, or Z. We want to make sure that they're hitting the targets and they're continuing to reduce their methane emissions. But natural gas is such an important economic boom to our country and Pennsylvania in particular. We don't want to do anything to jeopardize the jobs in Pennsylvania.
Good, excellent. Well, it sounds great. It sounds really you've done a lot to change the direction of the EPA, which I think was truly totalitarian under the last administration. So I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Any other points you want to make before I let you go?
I just want to make sure that the American public understands that the air is cleaner today than it was in 1970, 74% cleaner. Most of the media do not report that. They gloss over and they try to make things sound that it's much worse today than it was in the past. And it's not. Our air quality is 74% cleaner. Our drinking water, safer, cleaner than ever. Americans have a lot to be proud of, and they've made a lot of progress. We have all made a lot of progress over the last 50 years.
Oh, before I let you go, can I start a petition to try to bring back DDT? Because I can't stand the mosquitoes.
Well, we know we have alternatives now for mosquitoes, and we certainly are. When we look at pesticides, we're much more comprehensive in the approach that we take in trying to determine whether or not to limit or ban certain pesticides.
All right, good. That's not a no. Thank you, Administrator Wheeler. I appreciate that. EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler, thanks for making time today for us in Philadelphia. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, we could do a petition to bring back DDT.
I can't believe you asked him that.
I can't believe I did either.
He laughed.
It was good.
He laughed.
But I mean,
he didn't say no.
No, and you're a little serious too.
I mean,
as well you should be.
He said we take an approach to pesticides, and he gave the typical answer that he would give in that situation. But he didn't bring up the Silent Spring by Rachel Carlson, so I appreciated that.
He was being diplomatic.
He was being very diplomatic. Oh man, that's probably the last time the White House is going to have a guest on the show. Yeah. But that's all right. No, he was good. He had a good chuckle over it. It's just a petition. He doesn't have to do it. I didn't ask him to bring back DDT. I said, can I make a petition to bring it back?
That'll be the next time. Next time
he'll be on, I'll ask him that. But we should make a story that the EPA administrator is considering bringing back DDT, because that will explode. You know I'm talking about getting some press here.
It's just a simple
twist of words is all you got to really do.
No, we don't want to twist words.
My words.
No. We don't twist words here, okay?
All right.
I think the headline is that, you know, the air is clean.
If anybody wants to bring up the fact that he didn't rule out bringing back DDT, feel free. I'm just saying. It's not an inaccurate statement, is it, Dawn? It's not an inaccurate statement. He didn't rule out bringing back DDT.
He was being very diplomatic.
He didn't say over my dead body. Or anything like that.
Listen to Dawn. She's the journalist here. We don't want to take people's words out of context.
I'm just saying he didn't rule it out. He didn't say hell no under no circumstances. Take your little petition and go home now. 855-839-1210. How are we doing with Nancy Pelosi's open mic night?
I'm trying to find something that I can.
I understand.
It might take a little time. We might need one of those little Indian drums, you know, those little...
Can you say that?
Oh.
No, you know, the ones that the...
A Native American drum?
Yes.
A Native American drum.
Yes.
Oh, like Elizabeth Warren has a fake drum.
Exactly.
A fake Indian drum.
Yes.
Sid suggests dueling banjos, by the way. Oh, speaking of Elizabeth Warren, she now, if she becomes president of the United States, America's mother-in-law, and she is. If you listen to her long enough, you realize that is definitely America's mother-in-law. You can't listen to that for 4 years. She's now decided that crossing the border illegally, well, this is what I mean about the party going really left here, kids. Cut eight.
Quick yes or no, repealing 1325 of immigration. Are you in favor of that?
So I am. I think that the whole notion of criminalizing the approach to coming across the border without documentation is not making anybody any safer, and that we just need to be in a different position on this. It's really important on immigration that we concentrate our resources on the people who pose threats to us, and that's not children. It's not mamas fleeing terror from gangs down in Central America. It's not people who come here trying to build a life, who have family here.
So she would say crossing the border illegally should not be a criminal offense. She would repeal the law that says crossing the border, Section 1325 of the Immigration Code, which makes it a criminal offense for people to cross the border illegally. She would get rid of that. Now, that is nuts. And also, the idea that people who cross the border, 100% of them are just wonderful, beautiful people, mamas, is insane, because everybody knows that's insane. People know that. Anyone with a brain knows that. It's not just mamas fleeing terror who cross the border. But she says it shouldn't be a crime. So now, obviously, then, let's assume for a second it is. Let's assume for a second right now the only people crossing the border legally are mamas fleeing terror, right? And what's keeping the drug dealers and the human sex traffickers from crossing the border illegally is the fact that it's illegal. Now, if you say it's no longer illegal, aren't you kind of going to give those guys an incentive now to cross the border? Assuming it's the only thing holding them back, right? Assuming the only thing holding back the Mexican drug cartels is, you know, it's a crime to cross the border, right? So we can't go. Only mamas fleeing terror cross the border. So we just keep our drugs over here and we don't cross. We never do that. But then they make it legal, and then the Mexican cartels turn around and go, guys, listen up. We can now cross the border and sell our product in America. Estados Unidos, this is a great day. the stupidity of this is just beyond comprehension. Honestly, it really is. Really is. 855-839-1210. So that's Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, going even further left. Mama's fleeing terror. Mama's fleeing terror.
Really important on immigration that we concentrate our resources on the people who pose threats to us. And that's not children. It's not mamas fleeing terror from
gangs. Do you know
gangs.
That Mamas Fleeing Terror was my Bengals cover band in in college? We were a bunch of cross-dressers. We are Mamas Fleeing Terror, now a little Manic Monday.
Yeah, your version of Manic Monday was amazing, by the way.
That was great. Yeah, I mean, that night at the coffee house, I was followed up by that crappy open mic poet.
Oh, I believe we have some.
Oh, here we go.
It's really disgraceful. And it's not what our founders had in mind. And it's not how we can decide who we are as a people. Who are we? What is America? We celebrate America on the 4th of July. What is America? America is our Constitution, our separation of powers, the
worst open mic night
branches
ever.
Of government, the freedoms.
Is there music?
No,
I thought you had music. All right, you got me all excited. All right, we'll wait then for the worst open mic night ever. Nancy Pelosi. She'd be good as a Springsteen cover band because he gets up and just riffs on stuff like that all the time. What's Freehold, New Jersey? It's a place where people work and play. And
he would probably be honored.
He would be, right?
She's a legendary political, figure in America.
I come down
American
and
history.
What's it like to farm? I think of the wheatgrass. What is America? It's my tomatoes and my property tax deduction that I get. That's America right there. Good accountants who can get you to pay $100 for property taxes on a 60-acre mansion. Allegedly.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you, Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, now, this is an important point as well that I would like to make for you and our continuing journey here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli and Facebook.com/Zioli Show. In a matter of moments, I'm going to share with you what I think is probably the biggest shakeup in the Democrat Party yet. Eric Swalwell has dropped out. This is a game changer. But first, it's 8:02. Let's say good morning to Dawn. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm great. Look at this sunshine.
Beautiful.
It's gonna be a beautiful day. I'll tell you the forecast.
Dawn, do you appreciate the respect I show the Speaker of the House by calling her the vampiric
the
one?
The vampiric one.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I know it's a sin.
It's a sin. She's a pioneering
grandmother.
Elected official, Catholic grandmother. Let's show some respect here. It is 8:02, 70 degrees, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT with news brought to you by Hint Water. So making headlines and going viral, the stories of girls who say they are victims of billionaire Jeffrey Epstein. He is behind bars this morning where federal prosecutors want to keep him because they say he is a major flight risk. So, for example, this is the hashtag MeToo movement, reposting testimony by a girl named Courtney. She says she was still in middle school, had braces when Epstein allegedly forced her into sick acts. He's facing 45 years in prison if convicted just on one of the counts, a count of sex trafficking of minors. So let's take you to former President Bill Clinton. He quickly claimed yesterday that he knew nothing about Jeffrey Epstein's, quote, terrible crimes. He released a long statement issued hours after Epstein was arraigned on the indictment in New York in federal court yesterday involving underage girls. So Clinton claims he took a total of 4 trips with the financier, but flight records reportedly show Clinton took at least 26 trips aboard Epstein's Boeing 727, nicknamed the Lolita Express, or Air F1, from 2001 to 2003. So a lot of questions there. The feds arrested Epstein in New Jersey over the weekend. That's when this all began as far as this federal prosecution. Other news, no ruling yet from a judge in Philadelphia after Johnny Dock asks, where's the crime? Attorneys for IBEW Local 98 leader John Dougherty and City Councilman Bobby Heenan asking a federal judge yesterday to dismiss all corruption charges. Their attorneys say the acts described in the 116-count public corruption indictment are just normal business for a union leader and an elected official, and thus do not fit the legal definition of bribes or kickbacks. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney and city officials say they're fighting a proposed federal housing regulation they say could leave thousands of children homeless. And taking you to Florida, we have alligators. This is a trend that's being investigated. Alligators found feeding on human remains again in Florida. So this is a teenage boy over the July 4th weekend in St. Petersburg, and they're saying this is a disturbing trend they're investigating. And across the nation, it is Cow Appreciation Day. That means by painting some cow spots on a white T-shirt, you too could get a free Chick-fil-A entree today, it's July 9th.
You just dress up as a hate cow and get free hate chicken.
That's right.
That's right. don't go if you're dressed as a gay cow.
No, that's not in the story.
Oh, it's not in the story? No. I'm sorry.
You could be a trans cow, gay. You could be any kind of cow.
A curious cow.
Curious cow.
Sure.
Go for it.
Go for it.
This day in history.
All cows are welcome at Chick-fil-A.
All cows.
Just
they
like
want to
people.
Appreciate.
Just like people.
This day in history, July 9th, 1850, U.S. President Zachary Taylor dies in office at the age of 65, succeeded by Millard Fillmore. 1942, Anne Frank and her family go into hiding in the attic above her father's office in an Amsterdam warehouse. And on this day in history, 1981, the world was first introduced to one of the most iconic characters in video game history, Mario.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Wow. 1981.
Cultural appropriation of my people. Mario and Luigi. That's 1981. Nice.
1981.
I went into an arcade the other day. I saw an old Super Mario Brothers, the old school machine like they used to have back. Oh,
fun.
Man. That's
the Nintendo
fun.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Kids still love it.
I know.
And we're loving this weather. Eyewitness weather, we've got 88 degrees today, 91 tomorrow. But here's the thing, bright sunshine, and it feels good because the humidity is gone. So enjoy. Also enjoy Hint. It's pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, watermelon, blackberry, cherry. Hey, no sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint. Mouth-watering water. I'm Dawn with the news, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, always on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay. Dress up like a cow and get some hate chicken. I love it.
Free chicken.
Free hate chicken. Love the hate chicken. Love it. So, you know, the Defense Department, by the way, I saw this story the other day in Military Times. They might ban beer and pizza and have a mandatory keto diet. Service members and Navy SEALs especially may have to forego beer and burritos for skinny cocktails and avocado salad if a proposal from Special Operations Command gains momentum. While a nutritionally enhanced future could eventually be put into effect for all branches, the SEALs and other underwater dive mission specialists might be the first groups targeted for the change in nutritional guidelines. Lisa Sanders, the director of science and tech at the U.S. Special Operations Command, presented an Ohio State University study that recommends the nutritional change based on the keto diet, which is high in fat and low in carbs. The diet works to deprive the body of glucose needed for energy and forces it to burn stored fats instead. The study was conducted by the university's Army ROTC cadet population. RTC. One of the effects of truly being in ketosis is that it changes the way your body handles oxygen deprivation, so you can actually stay underwater at depths for longer periods of time and not go into oxygen seizures. See, at first I thought it was about the fact that maybe the troops were all getting fat, but this is to help them stay underwater longer. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
The discussion of new dietary guidelines for service members comes at a time of growing concern about obesity in the military and its potential threat to readiness. The possibly controversial change for the military is not without problems, not the least of which are questions about whether the military has the legal and ethical authority to control and monitor a service member's diet 24/7. Again, this is from militarytimes.com. Service members are familiar with physical training and boot camp and their routine physical fitness tests, but are they ready for daily dietary ketosis testing? For the keto plan to be successful, it has to be followed strictly, and that includes after hours and weekends. Even a service member on leave would possibly face a restricted diet because it simply takes too long for the body to readjust and function in the ketosis stage after a weekend of dietary binging. That's always my problem, the weekends, and also weeknights. The keto diet requires the body to be in a constant state of ketosis. Daily urine or blood tests using strips are necessary to measure glucose. Are you doing this, by the way, the keto diet?
It's similar to it. Here's the thing. Don't they get free food? This is good food on the military bases. They get free.
Yeah, but so, it's off the base. They'd have to.
But still, it's fish, meat, poultry, eggs, low-carb vegetables, cheese, avocados. I mean, what's so bad about it?
You left out beer, vodka.
We could probably do that silver tequila.
Well, that's true. You can do that. So, I do. That's one of the cheat. Silver linings on it, I guess you'd say.
Like, I'm looking at lazy keto, a naked cheeseburger.
What is that?
I think it's without the bun.
But
it sounds good.
I'm doing the intermittent fasting and I'm loving it. The internment camp fasting, and it's great. It's great. I didn't have my first thing I ate yesterday was at 3:30 in the afternoon. Ooh. First thing I ate all day. Felt great. I just have more energy. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's the way to go, because I don't think we were just meant to graze like cows all day. I don't think we were meant to just graze or eat all day, you know? Our new program director, Spike Eskin, weighs what, 120 pounds?
Yeah, soaking wet, I think.
Soaking wet. I should ask him what he does.
Yeah. See, I think you're right, though. We were like hunters.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't catch the rabbit... For, you know, tonight.
Rabbit.
Or
listen, our ancestors weren't hunting rabbit, Dawn.
What did they hunt?
Deer? Hopefully something that would feed us and not starve to death. A rabbit. You gotta bring a rabbit back to the cave. By the way, the guy who brought the rabbit back to the cave,
was like
the cave, the hot cave woman definitely left him. She's like, really? You've been out hunting for, you bring a rabbit back? Johnny's got a lion.
Oh, no. It's true.
I got a rabbit? That guy, evolution took care of that guy. Believe me.
Okay.
Speaking of guys who evolution should take care of, Eric Swalwell dropped out of the race for president. He would definitely bring a rabbit back.
See.
In the hunter-gatherer days.
Yes.
He would show up with a bunny, and it'd still be alive, and he'd go, it's a pet. Kids would be starving. It's a pet, guys. Look. So Eric Swalwell dropped out of the race for president of the United States. Shocking. No one. And he thanked the media for this. Cut five.
We have to be honest.
Hello.
We have to be honest about our own candidacy's viability. You know, an American author...
Listen to all the camera clicks around this loser who had no chance of becoming president. And I ask you, what media bias? You can barely hear the guy because of all the clicking. This guy had no chance of becoming president whatsoever. He brings a bunny back to the cave, a live bunny pet after the hunt. And yet, click, 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 click. The media is fascinated with this guy, this loser.
We have to be honest about our own candidacy's viability. You know, an American author, Louis L'Amour, wrote in The Lonely Mountain.
There'll
be a time... when you believe everything is over.
Stop. You know what? You should write a book called Lonely Campaign. It was only you. Also, why are there so many freaking cameras there covering this guy?
They're going to follow him as he's lonely on the mountain. They're going to follow him.
He should be a Sherpa on a mountain. That should be his new career. Because now he's not going to be elected president, so become a Sherpa on the mountain.
This guy gave a 40-minute speech, by the way.
A 40-minute speech. He polled at 1% tops. 40 minutes, and the media, click, 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 get another angle of him. Click, 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 click. What media bias?
There'll be a time when you believe everything is over. That will be the beginning.
That's enough pictures. How many more pictures of him do you need? He's standing at a podium.
He is.
Our presidential campaign. But it is the beginning of an opportunity in Congress
for me to lead tour groups to the top of the mountain as I open Eric Swalwell Sherpas. Swalwell Sherpas Inc.
Touched mine and our campaign throughout these last 3 months to bring that promise of America to all Americans. I want to thank the media because I see the media everywhere we go across the country.
Why is that?
Your materials and your cameras and lugging it through airports. Yeah. Trying to catch me and ask the tough questions that we expect.
Yeah, tough questions like, are you serious right now? Here's my tough question. Did you really think you ever had a shot at this, you idiot? That's my tough question. I want to thank the media because they should not be covering me, but I'm a Democrat, so they're all here. Literally all of them. In a real world, the media would never cover me. Maybe a local paper in a town that I went to. The Patch or something. But I want to thank the National Political Press Corps for following me, even though I peaked at 1% due to a rounding error. I can't even.
By the way, I got this clip from CNN.com.
CNN.com. So thank you, Greg.
I just wanted to show you the national media that was out there for this.
I'm sure Wolf Blitzer was all over that. The first to leave, Eric Swalwell, surprising no one. Hey, speaking of bad open mic nights, this is going to be the worst nightmare ever, okay? I'm going to tell my buddy Steve Trevelise to do this because he's got a comedy club. Worst night ever, open mic night. You have Nancy Pelosi doing her Who is America poetry, her beatnik poetry. Mm-hmm. And then you have comedian Eric Swalwell with his diaper stories. Failed presidential candidate Eric Swalwell with his big one-liners.
We can do both if you want to. I can. Oh. So here's...
I hope Trev is listening. This is the worst open mic night in comedy club history.
I'm a congressman, but also a father of a 2-year-old and an infant. When I'm not changing diapers, I'm changing Washington. Most of the time... the diapers smell better.
Get off the stage, you suck! Run off! And continue the open mic night, the vampiric one.
Who are we? What is America? We celebrate America on the 4th of July. What is America? No, it's... America is our Constitution. Separation of powers, of co-equal branches of government. The freedoms and the, including freedom of the press, the guardian of our democracy. In the Bill of Rights. Who is America? America is our Constitution. What is America? It is this beautiful land that God gave us from sea to shining sea.
Worst beatnik poet ever. Nancy Pelosi.
For those of you just tuning in, Nancy Pelosi. Guest hosting.
Oh my God.
You imagine going to that open mic night? Kill yourself. Swalwell's comedy and Pelosi's beatnik poetry, Who is America by Nancy Pelosi. Just trying a new thing now. I can't sleep, obviously, so these coffee shops are open late. Coffee shops and comedy clubs. Let's see some Twitter feedback. Peter T says, today you've already spent more time on Swalwell than America has spent on him combined. And Chris says, growing up, we related a Mario or Luigi to original Italian local pizza shops. It took Nintendo to forever associate them with psychedelic mushrooms. So thank you for that, Chris Eppolito, for that. Very, very good. Well done, by the way, with the
thank
music.
You.
Now, we got to tweak it so she goes... Who is America? Da-da! Right? And then, who is America? Ba-dum! Oh, the talent on the Democrat Party is amazing right now. It really
who
is.
Who are we? What is America?
I love it.
Okay. 855-839-1210. Earlier, I mentioned to you how ABC News has completely ignored the connection with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton. I shared with you the Ann Coulter article on the fact that the media is only interested now because they can find a Trump connection. There is no Trump connection other than the fact that he knew the guy and eventually kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. But now the media is suddenly interested. But the media continues to not mention Bill Clinton, flying with him on Air F1 and spending time at his private island called F Island. You can figure out what the F is. And Orgy Island, as they called it as well. So this morning on, or yesterday on Good Morning America, the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos begins to open this. Then he hands it over to their little package, the package mentions former presidents. but doesn't mention any of their names. And then he has the conversation with Dan Abrams, the legal guy. Now, think about this now. So Bill Clinton, who partied with Jeffrey Epstein after he got out of prison, fake prison, his house, and then after that, who also, the same George Stephanopoulos, who was Bill Clinton's communications guy, who got him elected president, right? Is now doing the serious journalistic conversation with Dan Abrams of ABC News.
Okay, Amy, thanks. Let's bring in our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, for more on this. So this will be the first time that he faces federal charges, even though federal prosecutors did write a draft indictment last time.
That's right. Last time he pled guilty to two relatively minor state charges. And part of the deal was basically putting together the federal and state and saying, look, we're putting this all into one bucket. And we're saying, you plead guilty to these two state charges, we're going to make sure you're not prosecuted on the federal charges. That deal is technically still in place. And so the question becomes, okay, so how are they now charging him in federal court on these additional at least two charges?
We'll learn for sure today. One of the clues, it's being run by the Southern District of New York, here in New York, but also the Public Corruption Unit.
Right.
He's not a public figure.
That's right. So two questions. First is, how do they get past this non-prosecution agreement?
No, I've got a question. How does George Stephanopoulos get past being able to sit there as a journalist when he was Clinton's guy and partied with Epstein? How does this happen in a normal world? I want to know. That's my question, unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. How do you get past this? How does ABC News go, you know what? Forget it. Forget it. No point does he mention. And for the record, I know him and I partied with him and I had dinner with him. And Bill Clinton, who is the former president, not named in that report. I got him elected. I was his press secretary. I was his communications director. Nah, just ignore it. Pretend like it never happened.
And I think the answer is these have to be new allegations. These have to be ones that were not covered in that 53-page.
So you avoid double jeopardy
exactly,
as well.
Exactly. And you avoid this non-prosecution agreement. Then you're right. Very interesting, the Public Corruption Unit, and they have a unit there that deals with sex trafficking, and they appear to be a minor part of this, which should be of great concern to Epstein, because the question then becomes what were they investigating? And could there be additional charges here beyond the ones that we're seeing? So that's got to be something from his perspective that's got to be of real concern.
And this is a guy who's obviously super wealthy, also very well connected to powerful figures.
Hang on. A guy who's super connected, George, to who? Powerful figures like, for example, give us a name. Come on. Right on the tip of your tongue. Bill.
It's got to be something from his perspective that's got to be of real concern.
And this is a guy who's obviously super wealthy, also very well connected to powerful public figures.
It's true.
It's true.
And that's what apparently helped him last time. But I don't think that people should be concerned about that this time around. Why? Because these are prosecutors who clearly went out of their way to indict him, meaning there's a non-prosecution agreement in place. You want to make this go away? You can just say, you know what? That's a non-prosecution agreement. This case is done. These prosecutors have basically said, this is serious enough. We're going to go out. We're going to find these additional victims, and it seems, and move forward with this case anyway. So I think that the sort of idea that he's got well-connected friends will help him this time around, very unlikely.
Dan Abrams, thanks very much, Michael.
All right, thank you, George. Now to those
it's utterly amazing to me. It is absolutely amazing to me. They're sitting there talking about his well-connected, powerful friends. Bill Clinton is the guy. I need more beatnik poetry to get me through this.
And this was this morning.
Was it this today or yesterday?
Was that this morning or yesterday?
Oh, yesterday.
It was yesterday morning.
Oh, I'm sure he's doing the same BS today, yeah. Dawn. I'm sure today it's the same exact thing. I'm just pretending like Bill Clinton has nothing to do with this.
Well, <That's unbelievable. laughs> see, it would have been, if you were a journalist using your connections, you would, if it were yesterday morning, you would say, and I know through my connections to the Clintons that former President Bill Clinton is preparing to release a statement. You know, that would be breaking news then. He's preparing to release a statement about this.
Yeah,
his
wonder,
relationship.
I wonder if they covered that this morning on Good Morning America. We will find out for sure, I imagine. Can I have some more beatnik poetry, please, to get me through this nonsense?
Hang on.
People are loving this. We have a request also to add Bernie Sanders karaoke of This Land Is Your Land.
I knew
So, worst open mic night in comedy club history. We have Eric Swalwell's jokes, Beatnik Nancy Pelosi, and then Bernie doing karaoke of "This Land Is Your Land."
It's gonna take some time.
All right, you take your time. Take your time.
I can do Nancy again.
Who are we? What is America? We celebrate America on the 4th of July. What is America?
Beatnik poetry with Nancy Pelosi.
America is our constitution. Separation of powers, co-equal branches of government. The freedoms, and the, including freedom of the press, the guardian of our democracy.
So good.
In the Bill of Rights. Who is America? America is our constitution. What is America? It is this beautiful land that God gave us from sea to shining sea. And beyond.
And beyond. Hawaii and Alaska. I love Alaska because it's 30 days a night there. I get to hang out there. It's beautiful this time of year. By the way, Bill Clinton, yes, he said he knows nothing about the terrible crimes. He flew on his plane, but he knows nothing
like
about
Sergeant
the crimes.
Like Sergeant Schultze.
Yeah, he
I
just
know
took...
nothing.
He took four trips with Epstein, one to Europe, one to Asia, two to Africa, which included stops in connection with the work of the Clinton Foundation. Staff, supporters of the Clinton Foundation, and Secret Service detail traveled on every leg of the trip. He had one meeting with Epstein in his Harlem office in 2002, and around the same time made one brief visit to Epstein's New York apartment with a staff member and a security detail. He's not spoken to Epstein in well over a decade, and he's never been to Little St. James Island, Epstein's ranch in Mexico, or his residence in Florida. Now,
he says four, but there are reports that flight logs show 26.
Well,
and some of them extended junkets, allegedly. I'm just saying they're looking at flight logs.
Well, this is the kind of thing that ABC News' chief unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos, should really get to the bottom of, I think. Should really get to the bottom of Bill Clinton's connection here.
No.
Yeah, he didn't recuse himself, which I think clearly he should have.
He doesn't have to, nor does Gayle King. Gayle King goes, this is the double standard here. Gayle King on the CBS morning show here. She's got her little buddies, the Obamas now. She's interviewing Michelle Obama. She's the co-host of the CBS morning show. She's interviewing Michelle Obama. And they're discussing how there were no scandals in the Obama administration.
Watching my husband get raped over the coals, feeling like we had to do everything perfectly. Yeah, yeah. You know, no scandal, no, yeah. No, nothing. Yes. No, nothing,
no
y'all.
Scandal. Yeah. I think there was...
So it was a lot emotionally. So by the time I got on that plane...
It was a release?
It was a release of 8 years of having to try to show up. As we all know, we have to show up, yeah. Not only perfectly, yeah. But a little bit better than perfect.
CBS Morning
to even
Show
be considered
co-host.
Yeah. Equal.
Yeah.
Watching.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Now, King conducted an hour-long interview with the former First Lady at the Essence Festival in New Orleans. Mrs. Obama complained about having to go to Donald Trump's inauguration in the preceding 8 years in the White House. Watching my husband get raked over the coals, feeling like we had to do everything perfectly, you know, no scandals, no nothing. And Gayle King eagerly agreed, no scandals, yes. Of course, that's simply not true. There's scandals including the IRS targeting the Tea Party, the Fast and Furious gun running scandal, the terrible situation at the Veterans Affairs hospitals, Obamacare failures, and other things as well. But CBS Morning Show co-host Gayle King wanted none of that. She just said that Trump's the reason for reversing course and dismantling so many of Obama policies. And it's simply because, as Gayle King insisted, the two of you did it. Now, that's the kind of unbiased journalism I like. So Gayle King doesn't have to care. Good Morning America doesn't have to care. What media bias? Think about this. The CBS Morning Show co-host is buddies with the Obamas, defending them on everything. The ABC Good Morning America co-host is Clinton's former press guy who doesn't even bring up Clinton and Epstein. So I guess the only one left is NBC News? Oh, wait a second.
Bastion of conservatism.
The parent company of MSNBC?
Oh,
with the crackpots over there?
Oh.
Is there anybody left in morning ABC, NBC, CBS? Is this? It's a joke.
That's why we just turned to Zioli.
Thank you, Dawn. But I mean, but they do news though.
Yeah.
But they do news. They don't just do cooking. They pretend like they're news, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but that, I mean, the ratings are falling because of a loss of credibility. Let's just, you know.
How do you have any credibility if you're Gail King now? Well, the other time, remember when Cory Booker was on? And she's going on about, you and Rosario Dawson are so cute. Remember that?
Yes.
Look, I'd be fine if they were going to just do chit-chatty and coffee and baking fish dinners and whatnot. But when they can't sit there and do news and then intersperse it with these absolutely pathetically biased, whatever these things are, because you can't, it's a hybrid. That's this hybrid I don't like. I like when they separate it. So Fox News does news during the day, and then at night they do their commentary people, right?
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to be. We don't do, like, Dawn's news is Dawn's news. I don't pretend to be unbiased. I've got more bias in my body than, but so does Stephanopoulos. Anyway.
And you're exactly right. So they would have more credibility if they would just come out and say, look, this is who I am. Think of Rachel Maddow has, I think, the highest ratings on MSNBC.
No, and maybe that's the Lester Cuomo's problem. He still can't figure out what he wants to be. Oh, that and his show stinks and his nobody watches it, and he's terrible. Maybe it's that as well. 855-839-1210. Well, there you go, kids. Your lesson today that the media bias is just a myth, a giant myth made up by conservative right-wing media.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.